Welcome to True North Prosperity, the podcast dedicated to empowering Canadians on their journey to financial freedom. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 2 of the True North Prosperity podcast. I wanted to thank you guys for coming back and joining me for the second episode, and I'm really hoping that you guys were able to get something out of that first one. In episode 1, we did leave off talking about the TFSA, so I'm going to continue on talking about the other account. So we still have to go over the RRSP, FHSA, non-registered, and the regular saving accounts we all probably know. So I wanted to start off with talking about a really big one that a lot of us might already be familiar about, and this is your RRSP. So firstly, I wanted to talk about contribution limits, because this account also has contribution limits similar to your TFSA. However, these are a little bit different. For 2024, the max contribution limit into your RRSP is $31,560, or 18% of income, whichever one you kind of hit first. So I know this can be a little bit confusing because there's a set limit, but also a percent limit, and it really depends on how much you make. So obviously, if you make, let's say, $50,000, $60,000 a year, 18% is nowhere near that $31,560 limit. So it really is whichever one you kind of hit first. If you're making, you know, let's say $600,000, $700,000 a year, you're obviously making a lot more than, or that 18%, I should say, is a lot more than $31,560. So in that case, you would be capped at the $31,560. Otherwise, you are basically capped at 18%. So it really is a pretty easy calculation that you can do. You could take your, you know, yearly salary that you get, and then just find 18% of that, and that is basically what you can invest. If it is more than the yearly limit, then you are at the yearly limit. And the great thing about the RRSP is that the contributions that you make are tax deductible. This means that when you are filling out your taxes, you can put what contributions you put towards your RRSP from the previous year. So for example, this year, it's just March 28th when I'm recording this right now. So, you know, tax season is basically going on right now. If you're still having to fill out your taxes, which hopefully you have it done by now, but let's say, you know, it was the start of March and you're just starting to fill out your taxes, you would be filling out the contributions you made up to December 31st of 2023 from the start of the year. Now, this could be a powerful tool because it can potentially help you get a larger tax return, which you can then obviously use to reinvest and use that tax return that you got, maybe put it into your RRSP for next year to get a tax return again. And you can kind of snowball this to sort of get a little bit of extra money that you can invest or use towards other types of things that you may need. Now, the great thing about it is that your money grows tax-free as well. However, unlike your TFSA, when you start to withdraw from it, the withdrawal is subject as income tax. So that is the one sort of pitfall with the RRSP. However, it's not even that crazy of a deal, only because your money grows tax-free and you did get a lot of money back while you were putting money into it to begin with. So this is still one of the most powerful accounts and one that a lot of employers tend to like for having a plan. I'm sure almost every job with full-time benefits has some sort of RRSP set up that you can put into, and they have different types of group funds that you can choose from where the employer will put in either a match or a certain percentage based on how the company performed in that year. So it is still a very powerful account, even though you're withdrawals might not be tax-free. And that leads me into the employer side of things. I'm sure this is an account that most people are familiar with because of your work. You probably have some sort of RRSP plan where maybe your employer will match 2, 3, maybe even 4% up to a certain amount, you know, let's call it $2,000, $3,000, or $4,000. So if you put in $3,000, they will match that $3,000 as well, which is really powerful tool because it basically allows you to invest $6,000 with only putting in 50% of it. I highly recommend you guys to be using these employer contributions because you can almost think about it as an extra $3,000 that you are getting in the year or whatever it may be. You know, if you're not sure exactly what kind of RRSP contribution you have, you can ask your manager or your supervisor to see if they know, or maybe if they can give you a contact to the benefits department and they will be able to tell you or send you some useful information about it for sure. It would also be worth looking into the different types of plans that are offered in the RRSP. I know a lot of different employers offer a lot of different plans that you can invest into, or I should say funds that you can invest into. And I know for the most part, you can kind of either choose what kind of risk level you're willing to take on, or you can ask for it to be kind of left in your hands to decide. Now, in my current employer, even if I choose to leave it in my hands, I can't pick from any fund I want. They have some specific funds from the, you know, different financial institutions that the company might be partnered with, for example. So you don't get that full autonomy going, but at least, you know, pick something based on where you are in your life and maybe what kind of risk tolerance you would have. You know, if you are a bit on the younger side, you can definitely take on a lot more risk. So that's kind of a quick breakdown of how the RRSP works. And I hope that kind of explained it a little better and maybe encouraged you to, you know, reach out to your employer to see if maybe they offer a plan if you weren't aware, or maybe to see if you could change it into a little bit more of an aggressive plan, or even just kind of gave you a little bit heads up on all the tax implications. Now, moving into the FHSA account, this account is actually very, very interesting to me. The FHSA is actually a really new account, and I don't think it's even a year old. I believe it was like April of 2023 when it was actually first launched. And this account, although it's really new, it's an amazingly powerful tool. So you do have to be 18 years of age, or I believe maybe 19 in Quebec or certain provinces, wherever kind of the age of legality is in your province. And I do believe you have to be 71 years or younger as well. So you got to be between 18 and 71, basically, if you want to open an FHSA. But this account is really powerful because it combines your RRSP benefits with your TFSA benefits. So you can kind of think about it as a two-in-one account. Now, obviously, this is too good to be true if that's basically all it is, because then you'd have an account that is way too powerful, and obviously, once again, nobody would use any other type of account. So let me tell you a little bit about the FHSA. So I'm going to start off with the benefits. Like your RRSP, the contributions to your FHSA are tax deductible in that current year. So if you made any contributions in 2023, you can put that on your income tax report. Your funds do grow tax-free, and the great thing is that you can also withdraw them tax-free. So that's where it combines the RRSP and TFSA, because as you guys can recall from the previous episode, TFSA, you can make your contributions and they grow tax-free and you could take the money out tax-free. However, you cannot use it because that account, you can't have a tax deductible. And like we mentioned not too long ago, the RRSP is quite the opposite. You can put it on your income tax report to get that tax benefit. However, once you take the money out, it does count towards your income for that year that you've taken that money out. Where the FHSA kind of limits you is with not only a yearly max contribution limit, but a lifetime max contribution limit. So you, in the entire life of the account, you can only contribute a maximum of $40,000 and $8,000 a year at max. So that means you can max out the account within 5 years if you invest $8,000 year after year. Now, that is not the only catch, because the account can also only remain open for 15 years. So there's basically a 15-year time limit on this account. And what FHSA stands for is First Home Savings Account. So yes, if you do already own a house, you cannot open this account. You can only open an FHSA, like I said, if you're between 18 and 71 and you have not lived in your own house, basically in a house that you own the year that you opened it or 4 years prior to that as well. So it really is a big incentive for people who are just wanting to get a first place. You know, this could be a condo, a townhouse, or a standalone house, whatever it may be. But if you already own a house, unfortunately, you will not be able to open this sort of account. Now, I know you may be thinking, okay, I understand I can only put a certain amount in and there's a 15-year time limit, but what happens after that? What happens if I don't buy a house after 15 years? Well, you are left with two options. You can either withdraw the money that you have of it and it would simply count as your income tax for that year that you take it out, or you can convert it into your RRSP, which would be tax-free, and then all that money and all those investments would basically get joined together into your RRSP, and then it would literally just be an RRSP from there on out, which I would strongly recommend this only because you are going to let it continue growing, continue to compound, and you're going to put that huge amount into your RRSP. So, you know, $40,000 times 15, you know, 15 years of investing, that's going to compound nicely, plus your RRSP was compounding as well. Now, obviously, you know, you're not going to get some tax benefit to put all that amount in. It just simply converts into your RRSP. But, you know, this will be great for when you retire. The whole point of it is to try to get a house in that 15 years time span. So, you know, once you are opening that account, you know, a young person, you kind of start your clock with it. But I still recommend opening it because even $40,000 over 10 years, let's say, you know, obviously it'd be more than that because if you invest $8,000, you're going to compound that eight, then the next eight, five times over. So by the time you're on year five, hopefully your $40,000 is more like maybe $45,000 or $50,000, depending on what you invested to, how risky you went with it, and how much you were able to get it to compound. So let's just call it $50,000. Your $50,000 would compound on its own for the next 10 years after that, which can give you some pretty insane growth as well. Maybe you can get your account up to anywhere $120,000 to maybe $150,000 that you can use towards, you know, your first down payment. If you guys have any questions about that, please feel free to comment down on the website below, or, you know, anywhere that you're able to comment or ask a question about the FHSA. I believe I covered at least the most important aspects of the FHSA, but, you know, please never feel like you can't ask any questions. I definitely am open to answering any, and I will try to answer all of the questions that ever come through, so please feel free to reach out. Moving into the non-registered account, this is kind of the account you use when you've basically maxed out everything else. You've maxed out your RRSP, you maxed out your TFSA, you max out your FHSA contributions, and you have money left over that you still want to invest because you still want to be making more money. The reason is because a non-registered account doesn't really get any of these benefits. You don't get a tax break, so you can't put it towards your income tax. You do have to pay withholding tax if you invest in the US stock market, and you are subject to capital gains when you take out the money. So really, you don't get any benefits at all with this account. So it is still smart to invest your money if you have a lot left over. You want to keep growing your investments. This is definitely the account you should be opening, but this should be last in priority when it comes to those three accounts I was talking about earlier. Now, you might have noticed that I mentioned something here, withholding tax. I wanted to kind of leave this to the end of these accounts because I didn't want to confuse you guys with how withholding tax works and what it is. So I'm going to talk about it now. So basically what withholding tax is a tax that you pay for investing outside of your country. You could think about it. So, you know, if you're based in Canada and you're investing in the US market, the US markets usually have a 30% withholding tax on your dividends, let's say. So if you make $1,000 on your dividends, the states would take normally $300 of that. But because of a tax treaty between Canada and the states, that is automatically dropped down to 15%. So now if you are investing in the market and you do get paid dividends from the US stocks, you will have to fill out a form that is called the W-8 BEN form with the brokerage where you hold your investments. Now, let me tell you about how the withholding tax affects all these different types of accounts that you may be getting. It is smarter to invest into US stocks or US ETFs, especially ones with dividends, into your RRSP. This is because you're actually exempt from paying any withholding tax in the RRSP. Now, even though the TFSA is a tax-free savings account, you are still subject to the 15% withholding tax when you invest in the US markets. Now, I did want to mention that when you do invest in Canadian ETFs, for example, there is a VOO, which is a US S&P 500, and there is a VFV, which is the Canadian version of that. And how these accounts work is basically the Canadian one buys shares of the VOO, and they kind of convert it for you already. So your dividend will actually be roughly 15% less already, because they kind of take that withholding tax ahead of time, so that you aren't taxed at it at all. And you also don't have to worry about paying a conversion fee. A lot of brokers do make you pay a conversion fee. Wealthsimple, I know, I think has a 1.5% conversion fee. I know there are certain brokers out there that might not have it, so we can definitely do a little bit more digging into that. So I can tell you guys about those if you are looking to invest in the US stock markets or really want to. But for simplicity, it would be smarter to invest in the Canadian version of the ETF into an account like your TFSA, and then the US one for your RRSP. Now, you may be thinking, well, what's the difference if they have, if they take your tax before or after? Well, the main difference is that the US ones also have a lower management expense. So all of these ETFs that you'd be going into might have an expense of 0.2% or 0.03%, for example. And that is the big difference, because it can really start to add up, especially the bigger your account gets. Now, what an MER is a management expense ratio. And I'm going to use these two previous accounts I mentioned, the VFV, which is the Canadian S&P 500, and the VOO, which is the American S&P 500, which directly invests into these companies. So, you know, the top 500 companies. So these are like, you know, your Apples, Microsoft, Teslas, and all those big companies that you can think of, you know, Nvidia, especially now with all that AI booming. And then the VFV basically buys shares of the VOO. Now, the management expense ratio for the VFV is 0.09%, which is still crazy low when you think about it. You know, 0.09% isn't that high, but the expense ratio on the VOO is 0.03%. So it's 3 times less than the VFV. Now, you know, it might not seem like a big difference between 0.03 and 0.09. But if you were to do the math and really work it out, if you have a big enough account or you let your account grow to a big size, that, you know, 6% or 0.06% difference, I should say, you will really see how that can help you compound your money even more. So it is definitely something to think about, especially when you're investing in your RRSP. Now, the one downfall with this is, you know, if you're using your RRSP from work, they might not give you the option to invest in these American stocks, so you might not be able to fully utilize it yourself. However, one thing I did want to point out is that if you do ever leave your job, you are able to transfer your RRSPs from different accounts to another, and then you can make different financial decisions with those accounts as well. Now, I know I might have strayed a little bit from where I was explaining the accounts, but I thought it was a pretty important thing just to kind of give you guys a rough idea of all the different types of expenses you got to think about. Because, you know, at first glance, it might not seem like there's a lot to all of these accounts, but when you start digging in, there's these subtle differences that can make a huge impact, especially over the time. You know, maybe over the course of a year or two, you're not really going to see much of a change. But if you're a young investor and you have 40 plus years of investing, you know, this is something to really consider, because it will be a huge impact for you. So I'm really hoping that I can help you guide to what you're more comfortable with and, you know, what you think is best for you. And I really hope that this doesn't scare anybody out of investing, because that's the one big issue, is when a lot of people start to hear about this, they're like, oh no, this is too much work. This is too much to think about. I don't want to be spending this much time. I just want my money to grow. And then they just end up putting it in a standard savings account, which, as we know, is just a regular high interest savings account. The percentage can fluctuate, you know, year after year, or after a few years, it can change. Right now, we got pretty high interest rates, which is great, but who knows what they could be. You know, they could drop back down and be 1 or 2%, just trying to keep up with inflation, so your money's not really growing. And, you know, I'm not a fan of those standard savings account, unless it's just for your emergency fund, which I think is okay to have it in. But in terms of investing your money, I don't think it is a smart move. And I know when I'm talking about management expense ratio, withholding tax, all this, and it's like, it could be a lot for somebody. You know, they kind of just want their money to be taken care of and growing themselves. So I do want to tell you guys that whatever you guys pick, the smartest thing you could do is just invest it. Regardless if you pick the VFV or the VOBO when you're RRSP, you know, if you're sticking with the TFSA, for example, I would definitely go with VFV just for simplicity, to keep it as simple as possible. If you are wanting to be a little bit more hands-on, you could definitely dabble in the US ones. But just please consider investing into something, only because this will help you in the long run to get that financial freedom. And I know you guys, if you're listening up to this point, you want to learn, you want to invest your money, you want to get financially free. You know, my biggest goal is to try and get an early retirement going for myself. So I'm just trying to plan how I can do that. And you know, you can't do that if you don't invest, honestly, unless you're making a boatload of money that you don't need to be worried about. And then you just put it aside, which you can live off of. For, you know, a regular person like me, the only way, the only hope to do that is to be smart with the money at a young age and invest it. And I know, you know, going back to different generations and previous years, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years, there might not have been as much resources available. And, you know, it might have not been affordable to try and hire, you know, a personal finance guy to, you know, keep up with all your investing and manage your money. So I know, you know, some people might not be where they want it to be with investing, but it's never too late to start investing. It's always a smart idea to start, because even if you don't have time on your side, you can't underestimate compound interest. Even if you got 10 years, 15 years, you have no idea how good compound interest can be. And, you know, you can get yourself to a pretty comfortable retirement with that amount, especially if you're able to invest quite a decent amount. You know, you would have that $95,000 or whatever it was that you're able to put into your TFSA. And I'm sure throughout all these years, hopefully you're contributing into an RRSP, which probably grew quite a decent amount as well. And you might even have just a standard savings account where you have a lot of saved up that you could start to, you know, invest slowly and diversify your portfolio a lot. Now, if you are in that situation where you do have a lot of money to invest, I would suggest getting a personal finance rep, only because they'll be able to kind of help you really one-on-one of how you can invest that money. You know, it's not a good idea to put, let's say, $100,000 all into one fund at the same time and the same day, because if that fund, you know, happens to start turning up on a downtrend, like right now, we're breaking new highs basically almost every day on the S&P. So, you know, if you invest all $100,000 now, and let's say you got 5 years until retirement, and this next year it drops 20%, then, you know, like, it's not, then you're a little bit further down from where you want to be. And now you got to make up that 20%. Let's say it takes 2 years to make up. So now that's 3 years. And now you've only got 2 years of compound interest to kind of help you. And who knows what might happen. It might dip down on the fourth year. And then you might just end up break even. So it's really important that you kind of take your time and try to diversify your portfolio if you're short on time, but you have a lot of money to invest. That is something I will be definitely talking more about in the future episodes as well, is a little bit more about how you could start to diversify your portfolio. Right now, if you're just starting from scratch, I would say we can dabble into picking some sort of fund, just a first fund to start investing your first, you know, $100, $200 of your paycheck into. And once that starts to grow, we can start to, you know, dabble into maybe putting 60% into this fund, 20% into this fund, and, you know, some other percentages into some other funds as well. Because it is important to diversify your portfolio just to make yourself as stable as you can. Now, I wanted to kind of leave you guys off with this little piece of information in this episode. You might be thinking, okay, I know a little bit more about what a TFSA, RRSP, FHSA, and non-registered savings account. I know a little bit more about how they work. You know, you probably haven't memorized everything I told you in this episode just from listening to it once. So if you need to go back and listen to it again, feel free. If not, you can always reach out to me. I'm going to be trying to work on some YouTube videos potentially to explain more about each account. So, you know, I'll try to do a 5-minute video dedicated to an RRSP, dedicated to an FHSA, and the channel I have created. So I forgot to tell you guys that, but from the previous episode I made, episode 1, I do have my channel up. I don't currently have any videos posted. I am trying to figure out what kind of style I want to do. It might take me a couple of videos to figure that out, but it is up. The channel is just True North Prosperity, you know, with spaces in between, caps each letter. You should see the same logo I have on this podcast. So that is me. So feel free, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you guys would subscribe, and hopefully I could start getting some videos out to you soon. Schedule wise, I definitely want to be releasing podcasts on a weekly basis, but I'm not sure how often I'll be doing YouTube videos or even, you know, Instagram posts. As of this, I'm just starting my journey. Like I said, I'm only on episode 2, but I really want to get some of those basic videos out for you guys. So, you know, please be sure to check it out and comment on those videos what kind of things you would like me to do. And I will kind of lean towards whatever, you know, you guys want to see and what you guys learn the best from. Because ultimately what I want to do is just provide you guys some best experience to learn all about investing. So let me know what that is for you. Leaving off, what kind of account should you open? Should you do an RRSP, a TFSA, an FHSA? Non-registered, hopefully you're not thinking that one, but I know out of the other three, you might be thinking, which of the three is the best? And, you know, they all have their pros and cons, and I'd say it all depends on the financial situation you are in, but I don't want to leave you off of that. I do want to say that probably one of my more favorite ones is the TFSA, only because I really like the tax-free growth and the tax-free money that I could take out of it later on in life. It's just something that I think is, you know, a really great addition and a really good thing. But I do have myself an FHSA and obviously an RRSP as well. So I do try to invest into all three of these accounts, and I'm trying my best to max out each of these. You know, the RRSP is a little bit harder to max out only because it is such a large investment. You know, 18% of your income, if the experts, like you heard me say in the previous episode, if they're telling you to invest 10 to 20%, 18% is basically, you know, that whole amount. So it doesn't leave a lot of room to invest into these other accounts, let alone trying to max out 8,000 in your FHSA. Or, you know, 7,000 in your TFSA. That's quite a lot to invest. So I obviously don't expect you guys to be doing that. But a little bit in each is definitely it. I think if you are deciding to open an FHSA, you should focus on that one a lot. Just trying to max it out just so you can have it grow as much as you can, only because it does have that limit. And if you are planning on buying a house, you want to compound your interest as fast as you possibly can. So you will have to kind of think about what sort of investment you want to do in your FHSA as well, because you don't want something that will take a long time to kind of grow. So for example, a good example would be any sort of dividend growth type of ETFs. So, you know, in the States, you might have your VIG, for example, which is very focused on dividend growth. That is a really good one to invest into if you have a lot of time. Now, that's not to say 15 years is not a lot of time. It surely is. But I could think of a couple of different ETFs or different types of ETFs that would most likely be better for you to invest, especially with the kinds of benefits you are getting from it. But once again, like I said, it is all tailored towards what you can do. If, let's say, you can only invest $100 per month, then I would say, you know, it's not the greatest idea to separate $100 into three separate types of accounts. It's better to just focus on one and diversifying that one as much as you can until either, you know, that can grow to quite a substantial amount, or you increase your income. And then once you increase your income, you'll be able to invest into different types of accounts. It's never a horrible thing if you only can invest into one account for a year or two while you work on ways to increase your income, whether that be working towards a promotion, trying to get another job with a higher salary, or, you know, starting a side hustle and starting something that you could do on the side for yourself so that you could earn that extra income. Now, that is all I will be leaving you guys off here. We're getting to that 30-minute mark once again. I can go off forever talking about all these different types of investments and all these different accounts and all these different strategies that you can invest into. And you know what? I think I finished all of the basics that I wanted to finish. So, you know, it did not take me the full 3 episodes like I thought it might. So, you know, starting from next episode, I'm going to slowly start getting a little bit more specific. And, you know, I will be talking about one certain topic a little bit longer. Now that you have a little bit more of a general idea, you know, don't worry, I'm not going to ramp into talking about all these different investments and all these different funds and all this and this. I know I have mentioned some funds, which you might be a little bit confused about. I know you've heard me say VVOO, VFV, VIG. You might be like, whoa, what is all this? That's kind of what I'm going to start talking about now in this next episode, in episode 3, just the different types of funds and the different types of things that you are able to invest into, just so you can start getting a better understanding and a better idea of that, and what kind of accounts, you know, you will be able to get. So it'll be a little bit more structured, like when I was talking about the managed expense ratio on the VOO versus the VFV. I'm going to be diving a little bit more into those sorts of statistics for you guys. Now, as of right now, you know, this will be a little bit self-guided from what I think will be important. But once I start getting some listeners, you know, hopefully I will get at least one listener who would like to learn a little bit more from me. So, you know, if you are that one listener who wants to learn a bit more, please comment something that you'd like to know. And I will definitely make future episodes dedicated to those topics for you guys, just so we can, you know, get that best learning experience. And like I mentioned before, this is as much of a learning experience for you as it is for me. So let's be on this journey to financial freedom together. And you know what? Let's get it, guys. I know we could do it. I know we could kill it. So we will get it. And I'll see you guys on the next episode. Enjoy.